This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, lock it in, everybody. Biggest game of our lives today. Welcome in. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Such an honor to be here with you this morning. Let's get our heads right for just a massive, massive Friday show, a massive Friday game. So happy to be here. I hope it's not the end. I'll tell you that right now. I really, really hope it's not the end. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Adam Klug. He is the brand manager of 97.3 The Fan. Today, he will play the role of Bald Reindl, the executive producer for the show this morning, as Paulie is in Palm Springs for a wedding. Adam, good morning to you.
Good morning, Woodsy. How are you?
I am well, my friend. How about yourself?
Tired.
Now listen, this is the thing. I was going to tell you this. In the mornings, we like to keep a more upbeat type show. So I can't have pouty Bald Reindl over there this morning.
I need
upbeat, I need smiling and happy Bald Reindl. Right, Benny?
I think everybody should try to be as upbeat as possible.
It's been a long
exhausting week, yeah. No doubt about that.
I'm upbeat. I'm super confident.
All right, I like it. There we go. Just want to make sure. That's what we need. In the morning, mornings is different. You may be able to get away with that in middays. You may be able to get away with that in afternoons. You can get away with it at night.
How confident am I?
No. Stop. To my left is Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
Good morning.
It's almost like he wants a flogging.
He does.
And if he asks for a flogging, I will flog him. I've had no issues flogging that man for many, many years now.
Oh, good morning, everybody. Yeah, you know, you started the show by saying the biggest game of our lives. And, I had that thought yesterday. I mean, what else has compared in Padres history? You have to go way back. It was 40 years ago this week. My dad took me to Game 5 of the NLCS against the Cubs at Jack Murphy Stadium. Obviously, that was huge.
Massive.
That one was to decide who went to the World Series for the first time. That was an enormous game in franchise history. They have played in a World Series. They won a World Series game. Actually, 40 years ago yesterday, Kurt Bavakwa hit his 3-run home run off Dan Petrie. And a 5-3 win. The only World Series win in franchise history still to this day was 40 years ago yesterday. But in terms of the excitement and interest in Padres baseball, I don't think it really even compares. As fun as 1984 was, it was still kind of a fledgling franchise. It was 15th season. And, you know, it was definitely huge to get there for the first time, but it's nothing like today. The attention, the worldwide attention on this game. And we'll talk about it because they did name finally named a pitching matchup. And I heard Jim Bowden talking about the fact that this may be the most watched baseball game of all time because of who is going to be pitching in it. And because it's going to be Saturday morning in Japan and everybody is going to be watching internationally, that in terms of like eyeballs across the planet, this could be up there along with some of the, you know, World Series Game 7s in most watched baseball games of all time. And your San Diego Padres are playing in it against the LA Dodgers today. I don't know that it gets much bigger than that in Padres franchise history.
Yeah, man, I'm super, super hyped for it. Now, I had an idea this morning. I ran it by my wife. Because she asked me right when I got out of bed this morning, how are you feeling? And I said, I feel okay. I said, I feel better than I did yesterday. That's for sure. Yesterday was the like massive depression over the blowout plus no sleep. And at one point in here yesterday, I looked down and my hands were shaking. And it was because I hadn't slept, and you get that tired, nauseous, you know, uneasy feeling. And, you know, you throw some coffee in there, and it's not a good combo. Just wasn't myself yesterday. I was very, very exhausted. Today I feel much better. Got a great night's sleep. Had a really fun night with my boys last night playing. Everyone was in a great mood. Bo lost another tooth. So the tooth fairy came overnight. I'm pretty sure I heard her rooting around in the house as well. So
rally tooth?
The rally tooth. Bro, I would swallow that thing if it guaranteed us a win. So this morning she's like, how you feeling? I go, I'm pretty good. I said, I'm pretty good. I'm excited for the game. I said, I did tell her, I go, I wish that you would take the kids to your mom's or something. And she said, no, sorry. And I said, okay. I go, what if I raw dog this thing? she looks at me, she goes, what do you mean? I go, what if I didn't watch? What if I was so anxiety ridden that I just said, I'm going to go for a long walk and listen to music, and let's take the kids to the movies, and then we'll just check our
turn phone. Off your phones,
turn off the phones, and I go. Let's just obviously, I'm kind of doing a bit here. I'm kind of doing a bit. I said, I wonder how long I could make it.
I mean, can
raw dogging it?
Can you imagine that moment? So you go in for a double feature just to make sure,
a like double feature,
4 o'clock today. You know, you're not getting out until 9 o'clock. Can you imagine?
I
mean, the tension of watching the game, but can you imagine the tension of turning your phone on at 9 o'clock and knowing it's done one way or another? I'm about to see a final score, and I have no idea what it is. No one's told me anything. I haven't heard anything. That might be worse than the tension of watching the game.
And you know when you do that, your phone beeps one and it goes,
yeah,
and it starts going bang, bang,
well,
bang.
So we've all done the thing, right? We've all had to go to, I remember years ago, we've had her on the show before, Lauren O'Brien. LOB was a girl that I worked with on the first show I was on radio. Now we had LOB in the studio. She got married the night that Notre Dame played Oklahoma, and it was this massive game, and I mean massive game. So I had the DVR set, the whole thing. We've all had to do the thing where we're going to miss the game we want to see.
Of course.
Because of a wedding or a childbirth or something.
A Dan and Shay concert.
Or a Dan and Shay concert, you know, if you're whipped by your wife. So we've all done that. We've all missed it, right? Which is fine. To willingly say, I've got no plans, we have no plans, there's nowhere I have to be, I'm just not going to watch, takes some big, big, big stones to do. I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could do it. I've never done it. It obviously stems from the bit that they've been doing. Now people get on long flights, and it's a different version of raw dogging, but they put their phones away, they don't read a magazine, they sit in a seat on a plane, and they just stare straight ahead, and they raw dog a flight. And I thought, man, I can't even imagine. Just saying, I'm going for a long walk, or I'm going for a drive, and not putting the radio on, not looking at your phone, and just hope we win, come back and look at the phone. It's so nerve-wracking, games like this. So, man, I don't know. Oh, Joseph says he has to coach a high school football game at 7. I'm so relieved stress-wise. Yes, Braden was telling me yesterday.
I heard that.
He's got a coach tonight. And I go, dude, you're so lucky. You're so lucky that you have somewhere else you have to be.
No, that would be miserable.
I've got nothing where I have to be.
I mean, every single, you know, high school football player tonight, you had the game on the schedule. You're not missing the game. That is going to be excruciating. It's going to be excruciating tonight. You're at the best, your attention is divided. You're watching, you know, on your phone. Something as you're trying to watch the game. I heard Braden, the opposing coach, actually called in and said, we'll put a TV up in the press box because he's the defensive coordinator for the JV team. We'll make sure there's a TV up there so you can watch the game while you're coaching the game at the same time.
Dude, I know, man. I absolutely know. It's again, though, having a distraction is wonderful. Somebody in the chat just said, I moved to Sarasota. I didn't have power for game 4. It was much more relaxing. Yeah, game 4. If you were going to miss one, That was the game to miss, no question. So
Christian in the chat says, I have a wedding at 4:30 today. Oh, I'm miserable about it.
I'm so sorry, dude. I'm so sorry.
You're like a mayhem in that insurance commercial.
Yeah, 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 100%. The raw dogging of a huge game is, it's a bit that I don't know that I could do. I just, as much as I say, like, it could be so much better for your, you know, in my case, and I think a lot of people out there, not just better for your mental health, better for your physical health. My heart rate is up to like 150 during the games. The anxiety, you know, boils in my stomach. These games are so huge and every pitch matters. Man, it just is insane. So yeah, I'm definitely going to watch. I'll be pacing out. I did also think, now our boss is in here, Ben, so just look at me this way. I thought about trying like some sort of like edibles or something, but I've never really reacted well to them, but maybe something to calm me down. If anybody has any suggestions, I potentially will go by the pot shop, as Paulie's friend called him yesterday. I could tell you that story. Paulie's in Palm Springs for a wedding, and his buddy reached out and he goes, hey man, are you going to the pot shop on your way out here? And Paulie's like, what is, you mean the dispensary? And the guy's like, yeah, yeah, whatever you call it.
Not from California, I take it.
He goes, can you bring some, can you bring some pot out here? And Paul's like, yes, I'll bring some pot out here. The very legal, very, you know.
Some marijuana cigarette.
Marijuana cigarette out here to Palm Springs. Somebody said, don't do it, Woods. Don't do it. I don't know, man. I need something. I'm not going to be able to get through this thing clean and sober. I'll tell you that right now. There's just no way.
You want to come with me?
Because, no, I don't want to come with you.
I will be at the game. I'm heading up to Los Angeles as soon as this program ends, and I will be at Dodger Stadium tonight.
God.
Win or lose, experiencing it all with the Padres fans that are up there, with the Dodgers fans who will hopefully be under some better behavior than they were in Game 2.
Wouldn't count on it.
Afterwards, I will be down in the clubhouse one way or another, and it is going to be a very long day, but a very memorable day, I am sure.
You are going into the clubhouse, win or lose?
Win or lose. I will be in there covering it, Channel 10, and we'll have sound for 97.3 The Fan after the game from the Padres clubhouse, talking to the players, either getting ready for the NLCS on Sunday at Petco Park or getting ready for a very long off season, and that would be a very disappointing end to what has really been a spectacular year. It's hard to say that it's a great season, though, if they don't win today, which is almost unfair because they exceeded so many expectations, and it's one game, it's one series, but there will be an element of disappointment big time if they don't win today's game.
I'm glad you brought that up, man. I saw a tweet yesterday, I think from John Becker, who's a baseball writer I really, really respect. John Becker was talking about the this, like it's a new phenomenon, but it's like, how come we're so championship-oriented, man? Like, you watch 162 games, man, and you won 95. That's a killer year. And I go, I'm not wired that way. I'm not wired that way. It's okay to look at a season and go, yeah, we didn't win the championship. That was a massive failure. It's okay to think that. It's also okay to say, I had a great time watching this team. They really showed me a lot this season. They didn't get the job done. You know, I think that's okay. And there's this new mentality, I think, that is permeating. And he said, look, I know this is a small hill, and I'm on it. And some people are like, oh, I know, dude, I'm on that hill with you. Championship's not everything. And I'm like, are you joking? Like, what else do you sign up for? Like, of course, a champion, that's all you want to play for, in my opinion.
You know, last season, I felt like, you know, at the start was going to be their championship year with the talent they had put together. But they were so far from it, it's hard to go, yeah, you know, I was really devastated when they didn't win the championship. They didn't even make the playoffs last year. This year, of course, started, and we're thinking, you know, 82 wins. But now, with the team they've put together, there's never been a Padres team. Even 1984, they were in the World Series, never really expected them to win it. 1998, great team, got to the World Series. I knew the Yankees were going to be massive favorites. Didn't really feel like they had a great chance to win. They had to upset the Astros and the Braves just to get to that World Series that year. This year, there's no team that I feel that is better than the San Diego Padres.
Yep.
I think the Dodgers are an equal opponent. I think the Yankees are probably kind of an equal opponent. But this is absolutely a team that I feel is World Series championship caliber. So, yeah, if they don't win today, it's going to be a big disappointment because I'll know that they had the potential to do more this year.
No question. No question about it. All right. I'll take those recommendations.
That moved fast. We will we'll set the menu for the program today when we come back. We, of course, will get into the pitching matchup that was set last night, talking all about Game 5 of the National League Division Series. And I agree with Woods. The biggest game, least baseball game of our lives in San Diego. Tonight, here on 97.3 The Fan, we'll be right back after Kelly Danick's traffic. Weird things going on for sure. I don't know if it has anything to do with the baseball playoffs, but did anyone see the Aurora Borealis in San Diego yesterday?
I didn't see it here.
I saw pictures from people in San Diego who said the Northern Lights. Apparently some sort of solar storm causing magnetic disturbances made it possible to see something. Usually you can only see if you're like up in Alaska or the Arctic Circle. The Northern Lights all the way down in the southern United States, including in our mountain and desert areas here in San Diego yesterday. Really some spectacular pictures of the pinks and the greens flashing across the sky. Looked like City Connect colors to me. I don't know if that's a sign for tonight or not, but I'd assume they're probably visible in the Los Angeles area as well if they were visible here. But still, some amazing weird things happening as we get ready for Game 5 of the National League Division Series tonight. It's Ben and Woods with you this morning until 10 o'clock. It's been a long week, and I'm hoping for a long another week next week and a long week after that.
Well, we should update everybody. So here's our situation and our schedule. If the Padres win tonight, you will be joined by your old pals, Ben and Woods, tomorrow from 11 to 1.
I wasn't sure you were even going to mention it.
Yeah.
You know, tempt fate that way.
More reason to cheer for the boys tonight.
Oh, now you have a reason.
Now you have a reason.
I was kind of up in
the
air either way on the fence, but now that I know that there's going to be an extra Ben and Woods show tomorrow,
yes.
Now you're all cheering for the Padres out there.
Correct. So there you go. Another reason to cheer tonight.
It's Ben and Woods from 11 to 1.
Yeah, if and we then, win.
Yeah, we're not coming in otherwise.
Yeah, we'll break it down on Monday for you.
And then at 1 o'clock, Adam, it's Chris Ello and Matt Scraby going to come in at 1 o'clock as well.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously we'll set the stage for what's coming. They did announce yesterday, one way or another, there will be a National League Championship Series game in Southern California on Sunday and Monday. Whether it's at Petco Park or Dodger Stadium, we still don't know. But Sunday's game starts at 5:15, and Monday's game is a 1:08 start. It's a day game with the American League Championship Series Game 1 at Yankee Stadium scheduled for Monday night. So keep that in mind if you are making plans. And you have to make plans. I understand that. Woods, you've got tickets, you said. Are you going to Game 1 or 2?
Yes.
One of them.
One.
Game 1, if it exists. I mean, people buy tickets, they make plans.
Yeah, you have
and
to.
You have to. It's not a jinx. Everybody has to make their plans. So they're making plans in Los Angeles as well if the Dodgers win. They're not jinxing it either. That's simply what you do in October and the postseason, and that's what the schedule is for the next few days, with then games 3, 4, and 5 would be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in New York. The Mets know they're coming out here. They know they don't have home field advantage, but they know they're in, which would be a very nice spot to be at the moment, just sitting there waiting for an opponent to be determined and knowing that you're already comfortably in the NLCS at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what the Dodgers got to experience, you know, with having the best record in baseball. I mean, any team that's given the chance, Ben, to not have to play baseball games and sit and wait for an opponent is always the right move. If every team got its choice, you want to play 3 games? Or do you want to sit on your ass and wait? I know they all piss and moan when they don't make it, but every single one of them would sign up for the bye. Everyone. Every single team. You go to the owner, the commissioner, the GM, or you say, hey, you guys want to play 3 or you want to sit and wait for these guys to duke it out? Every single team would say, we'll take the rest.
And ultimately, while the Phillies were eliminated after having the bye, the Yankees advanced after the bye.
Correct.
We'll talk about yesterday's games. And the Guardians are still alive. They forced a Game 5 back at Progressive Field with
a
5-4
game.
Win yesterday. Both of them, but that one in particular was an outstanding playoff baseball game. Of course, they'll have to beat Tarek Skubal if they want to get into the ALCS.
That's today?
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
Saturday, Game 5 at Progressive Field.
Okay.
So, but they were going to have to, they were going to have to beat him once probably to win that series no matter what. They got it at Game 5 at their home field. So, we could still have as many as three of the division by winners advancing. Obviously, we're hoping it's not. We're hoping it's less than that because that would, of course, mean the Dodgers would win tonight. But I don't think the narrative that it's a bad thing to have a bye is anything other than a small sample size. Last couple of years, you just had teams that didn't get the job done.
Correct.
In the first round. If you want to make the argument the division series should be best of seven, I'm absolutely fine with that.
Sure.
I think a five-game series in baseball does seem a little bit short after a 162-game season to then say, all right, we're going to now make this best of five. I mean, they don't even make basketball series best of five. Those are best of seven all four rounds. And that seems a little long, especially like in the first round. But they want to make sure that, you know, the number one seed,
the cream rises,
the top team doesn't, you know, accidentally have a bad off night or two and all of a sudden they're gone. They want to give them the full chance to advance out of the first round of the playoffs.
So then do you also extend the wild card series to make it a five-game series?
Now if you do that...
More.
I don't feel like you have to extend the wild card series. If you're a wild card, you got in...
But there is a division winner in there too.
Well, I do feel like that other division winner is kind of... Gets
screwed.
The short end of the stick.
The
like,
shaft.
We won our division, we still have to play this series, but hey, have a better record during the season, if that's the case. But for the teams that actually win their division, are the tops, I feel like a seven-game series is the most appropriate thing.
I mean, how great would this series be if it was going seven? Phenomenal.
We'd be less stressed about Game 5 tonight.
No doubt.
But, yeah.
No doubt. Well, listen, I know what everybody in town is going to be doing. They're going to be watching the Rays game. Got some numbers in from Fox that said of all TVs in use in San Diego for Game 4, 50% were tuned to Game 4 of the Padres-Dodgers NLDS. Opposed to L.A., 29%. Baseball town. Right here, San Diego, California, baseball town.
So we've got two TVs in here. That means one of them would be tuned to Padres Dodgers.
50%, buddy.
And then we could watch our YouTube stream or something else on the other TV.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
What was it? 29% of LA TVs
were
tuned in.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of people still.
Oh, LA, no doubt. No
LA
doubt.
Is drawing from a much larger population base, so a lot of people are watching the games up there as well. But the obsession now with Padres baseball is...
It's real.
As I like to say a lot now, apparently. Off the hook.
That's right, six shows in a row. He said off the hook. Thank you for that.
All right, here's what we've got coming up on the program today. When we come back, we'll talk about the pitching matchup that Dave Roberts was unwilling to share with everybody during yesterday's workout, but then revealed at about 9:30 last night of what's going to happen later today. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk about the other games yesterday, and I believe we will play Take on Woods today. It's first time this week, but let's get back into a little, regular Ben and Woods topics as well.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue at 8 o'clock, a Klug report. We will have our manager's report now. If you were listening to the station, Mike Schilt actually went on yesterday with Gwynn and Chris, wanted to get it done before game day, which I totally understand, but we'll bring you some of the audio from Mike Schilt yesterday and our manager's report at 9 o'clock, and then turn things over to Annie and Elston at 10. There's your menu. We'll come back and talk about Yu Darvish against Yoshinobu Yamamoto tonight at Dodger Stadium. And I've got Yu's elimination game history as well. This will be his fifth career elimination game. We will talk about it next here with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. The Dodgers have undoubtedly been engaging in gamesmanship in this series. Back in Game 4, when they had Freddie Freeman in their starting lineup, even though Freddie Freeman admitted after the game, he told everybody at breakfast he wasn't going to play.
Not playing.
He didn't even try to get ready for the game. It wasn't as though, we'll see how he is. We'll put him in the lineup. We'll see if it's going. He never even attempted to get ready for the game. Dave Roberts knew with 100% certainty that Freddie Freeman was not going to play or be available, and put him in his starting lineup anyway that he released to the media, the public, and the Padres, you know, 3 or 4 hours before the game. And then 1 hour before the game, switched it up to the actual starting lineup. There's no other way to look at that than the Dodgers somehow feeling like that could give them a little bit of an advantage, wasting the Padres' time, you know, not preparing for the right lineup. I mean, I don't know if there's an actual advantage there, but the Dodgers must believe that gamesmanship gives them a bit of an edge because they continued to do it yesterday. Maybe they truly did not know who they were going to start. I find it very hard to believe that during their press conference at the workout at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that they did not know who was going to be starting their game. When later in the day at 9:30 p.m., they did finally release that it would be Yoshinobu Yamamoto. So it was asked of Mike Schilt in the news conference yesterday, and we've got the audio. What's going on with the Dodgers starting pitcher? What do you know?
Mike, do you know who they're starting tomorrow? You get a feeling that you know who will be?
No, I flipped them coins and I couldn't get the answer. I don't know, Bob. Somebody's going to show up and we'll be ready for them. Yeah, I don't know. At some point they're going to have to announce it, I'm sure, but we're not in any real hurry, quite honestly.
Is there, like, gamesmanship involved? It was like yesterday they knew that Freddie Freeman wasn't going to play. He was still at breakfast, but then they put out a different lineup.
Yeah, I don't, everybody operates their own club the way they operate it. I don't, we're more like Vince Lombardi, power suite. Here it is. Hugh Darvish is going to start. Here's our lineup. My lineup was pretty good for 10 runs, 6 runs, five runs. This is who we are, and we're going to compete and execute. We do that, we'll shake hands and pop champagne.
So, I want you to think about this question. We'll check traffic. Should the Padres be employing some of this gamesmanship as well? Mike Schilt obviously doesn't believe in it. Is he leaving something on the table, or do you like his attitude? Hey, here's what we've got. We'll let you know about it. You see if you can go ahead and beat us, and we'll talk about that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Now, the Padres could do the same thing as Dave Roberts and, not release their starting lineup or starting pitcher and wait as long as possible. I don't know that there's as many different options as the Dodgers have. I mean, it wouldn't really make sense for the Padres to start anyone but Yu Darvish.
Correct.
In this game. The lineup, they could tweak the lineup. They could change it a little bit going up against Yamamoto tonight. But Mike Schilt has been pretty clear that doesn't really have any thoughts about making any major changes. We'll see when he actually puts the line out later today. But I would 100% assume that whatever lineup he releases it, 12 o'clock today or 1 o'clock, whenever the lineup is released, will be the actual lineup at 5 o'clock when the game starts. And I don't necessarily trust that 100% with Dave Roberts' lineup.
Yeah, I don't either. And listen, if you think it gives you an edge, so be it. I think it's a little bit corny, but that's just how I'm wired. I would like a more modern reference than the Vince Lombardi power sweep. I'd like maybe a Sean McVay. Our offense is going to be a little more sophisticated than the old power sweep coming at you for 9 innings. But whatever gets the job done, I really don't care. This is how they run their organization. That's what they do.
Dave said yesterday
he
expects Freddie Freeman will be in the lineup, after 2 days of treatment, feeling better, he should be in there. I don't know why you'd believe that. I don't know why even after the lineup comes out that you'd believe that Freddie Freeman will be in there. So I'm sure the Padres will be ready for all contingencies, but it does make a difference, when it's a righty-lefty sort of matchup, especially if the Padres were going to be aggressive with their bullpen and they're setting up their lanes. They'll have to come up with a couple of different plans based on what a Dodgers lineup looks like with two righties at the top of the order, you know, with Mookie Betts and Teoscar Hernandez, and what it looks like if there's two lefties in the top three of the order with Shohei Ohtani and Freddie Freeman.
I mean, I've always the starting pitcher is kind of a more respect thing, right? Like, it's more of a respect. This is who we're going to be going with. Gamesmanship is fine. I mean, things can change at the drop of a hat. You know, certainly. I think the lineup, yeah, man, it's the chicken and the egg. I need the starting pitcher so that I can get my lineup together. I remember managing these World Series what we would go to in Arizona, and I would always find the opposing manager and go, "Hey, man, you guys throwing a righty or a lefty? Game's in 30 minutes, trying to get my lineup done, all the crap. You guys throwing a righty or lefty?" And the guy would look away, like, "You'll see." And I'm like, "All right, it really doesn't matter. We're going to kick the ass out of you anyway, but I'm just going to roll my guys out there and see what happens." But I've always thought it was a little bit corny. Let me know who you guys are starting. We'll let you know who we're starting. There's protocols in place. Obviously, things can change. Backs can get tweaked. Knees can get tweaked. Elbows can get tweaked in a bullpen. Things are going to happen, but I think it's corny. I do. I think it's dumb.
So whether they did it on their own volition or if Major League Baseball put them to you need to name someone. It came out at about 9:30 last night. Yeah. Dodgers sent a PR tweet out.
I woke up to it this morning, actually.
That Yoshinobu Yamamoto, the Game 1 starter, is going to return for Game 5 tonight to match up against Yu Darvish. It'll be the first time in baseball history that a postseason game has been started by two Japanese natives on the other side, making an historic matchup tonight. And if you're a Padres fan, this is this is a guy that the Padres have handled well in the three times they have faced him. The Padres batters have hit him well, have seen him well, scored 13 runs off of him in the three starts that he has made.
Which is why I don't believe it. It's kind of why I don't believe it. I mean, again, is there any chance, you guys, and just work with me here on this one. I did see a lot of tweets from actual media in L.A. yesterday, not questioning the decision to not throw Yamamoto. And everyone kind of assumed, we did our roundtable yesterday, Craig was saying they're 100% going to go bullpen day, 100% going bullpen day. Is it possible that Andrew Friedman and Dave Roberts, I don't want to say we're bullied into this decision, but did they sit down in a room and go, "All right, let's think this through, man. We rolled $325 million to this guy, and we're not starting him. What does that say about us? What does it say to him? Do we believe in him? If we give him this start, and granted, he's going to have a short leash, so is Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish is going to have a short leash. If he gets in trouble, he's out. He's out." Did they get bullied into announcing Yamamoto yesterday? A little bit, maybe?
I think so. I don't see how this is going to work that well for the Dodgers. Obviously, if Yamamoto goes and pitches great, fine. It works for the Dodgers.
Right.
But what does the short leash look like for Yamamoto? Because if
three batters.
Well, that's the thing.
It's for both, right? Batters.
That's the thing. Okay, let's play it out in your mind. So Yamamoto, you know, has struggled, especially in the first inning against the Padres. If they come out and, you know, Arise singles and Tatis walks and Manny singles. All right, so it's 1-0.
Yeah,
runners on the corners now. Do you make that change? And all of a sudden, I mean, that's an awkward spot now to put your team in. Now you're bringing in your bullpen guy and putting him in a bad spot instead of having a clean inning where you could have just started him in a clean inning at the beginning of the game. So if you're going to have that quick of a hook, if you're literally going to say, "Hey, if the first three batters don't go well, we're going to pull you out," why are you even starting him in the first place? That doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, he said he would pitch out of the bullpen. You could have him available. I'm sure Jack Flaherty is available as well if they need him. It's a game five. Anything's on the table. Mike Schilt said Michael King is, hey, you know, anything's possible in a game five.
We're emptying it, yeah.
We're not leaving anything, any stone unturned. But to have someone on that short of a leash seems weird that you'd start a guy because, you know, if the Padres do what they've done the last three times, the narrative will be, why did you start him in the first place? The evidence was clear. Padres hit this guy well. Why would you even give him a chance to go out there, even and face three batters, and put your team in a bad spot when you didn't have to do that? It feels like it could be an unforced error on the part of the Dodgers. And then, okay, so let's say he pitches a 1-2-3 first inning.
Right.
Are you pulling him out now?
No.
Now you're leaving him in.
Again, I think it's all...
And you're giving the Padres another crack at him.
Well, this is all...
I just don't know how this plays out for the Dodgers.
Well, we don't know how it plays out for the Padres. The exact same thing could happen. You know, if we don't get Yamamoto, Benny, and he walks Ohtani, and then Betts hits a double,
I think you Darvish...
get someone up.
I think you, Darvish, has a bit of a longer leash. Not much, infinite, but it's not three batters. I mean, you give a pitcher like you, Darvish, a chance to settle in. Not that you need length from him.
You need girth.
I don't necessarily want him going straight to, you know, Morahone in the first couple of innings. I would love to see you, Darvish, pitch at five.
Of course.
Five,
we all would.
Five really solid innings.
It's just,
and turn it over to then your high leverage guys. That's the best path to victory for the Padres. Five innings, one run. You know, five innings, two runs. So Darvish is, unlike Yamamoto, who has pitched big games in Japan, the Japan Series, the World Baseball Classic.
So is Yamamoto.
That's who I said. He's pitched big games. Unlike Yamamoto,
unlike
who
Yamamoto.
Has pitched big games there, Darvish has done it in the big leagues. He has had four times he's gone to the mound in an elimination game. And the results are mixed. Now, three of those starts are quality starts. Six innings, three or fewer runs. They didn't win any of them, though. And the last one, the worst one, if you'll remember, came in a Dodgers uniform. 7 years ago, Game 7 of the World Series against the Houston Astros. Yu Darvish got the ball for the Dodgers, and they roughed him up for five runs in an inning and two-thirds. Took him out early. It was all the runs of the game. They 5-1 was the final in that game, and the Dodgers lost Game 7 of the World Series to the Houston Astros, and Yu Darvish took the loss in his most recent start. However, I still think having that experience of pitching four times in elimination games is generally probably a good thing for Yu Darvish going out there again, and gives him a bit of an advantage having just done it before on the big league level.
I agree. Experience is very important. But again, all of that goes out the window. You know, the plan that everyone has in their mind is null and void. You know, if the Padres go out and score two or three, or hell, man, even one inning, even one run in the first inning off of Yamamoto, you could get Roberts stirring, man, just nervous and antsy.
I don't want the Padres to do that. Just because, you know, Ohtani lines a double to right doesn't mean you doesn't have it.
Correct.
If Mookie Betts hits a hard single, doesn't mean that Yu Darvish is off his game and they need to take him out. Those are really good hitters, and you can't really judge Yu Darvish by the first three batters of the game facing three consecutive MVPs. That's why I feel like you have to have at least a little bit of patience to see how Yu handles beyond those three guys. Because as we've seen this entire series, it's determined not really by the top three. It's determined by how the Padres pitchers handle everybody after that.
But sure, but the Padres are to Yamamoto what Dylan Cease is to the Dodgers so far. So, you look at that matchup and go, okay, this is a risk. This is a risk for Dave Roberts and the Dodgers.
And it was a risk for the Padres to pitch Dylan Cease. It backfired. Now the Dodgers are going, hey, that worked so well for the Padres. Let's try it ourselves here in Game 5.
I will say, man, it's funny. Eno talked about it yesterday. Remember, we sat in here maybe in July when there were some proposed rules that they were exploring in the commissioner's office. Do you guys remember the one, and we spent a lot of time
pitchers
on it.
Pitchers have to
go six innings.
Six innings, remember starting that? Pitchers, yeah.
Remember that? So tonight, if you knew that was the case, how great would that feel?
Padres would have a huge advantage.
Huge.
If
it would
that
be
rule
a
was in
huge
place. Yeah.
Advantage. Massive advantage. They would have had an advantage with Dylan Cease. He could have figured it out then. They were not going to give him the chance, and they were going to go straight to their bullpen, you know. It just, as much as I hated it then, I almost love it now. I really, really do. And Eno said, I'd like to legislate the bullpen game out of the game entirely.
Well, just like the pitch clock. Why did they do that? Because sometimes the best way to win a game strategically is also the least satisfying way to watch a baseball game. Make the pitchers throw. Make the starters go longer. Have less changes in between innings. That's why they made the three-batter rule. so they wouldn't constantly be making pitching changes throughout the game, you know, which stops down the action, makes everybody wait for another 2 minutes while someone warms up. It's a better form of baseball. So I understand why Major League Baseball is considering that rule change.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm on the record right now at 6:54 and 30 seconds this morning, I don't think Yamamoto has the ball in the first inning. I just don't.
Okay.
I just don't think it's going to
happen.
It's not
a crazy prediction.
I just don't think, Benny. Looking at this tweet right here, he's allowed 13 earned runs in 9 innings against the Padres this season, a 7.11 ERA in the first inning and 19 starts this year. Road teams hit a homer in the first inning of each of the first 4 games. How do you, in good conscience, say Yamamoto is going to be your starter tonight?
I think that's a very fair prediction.
I don't think it's going to be him. Some BS is going to come out.
All right, we'll come back, talk about yesterday's exciting games in the American League Division Series and play a little take on Woods on a Friday. All coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.